In a statement, the tour said the players on LIV will become the majority stakeholders of the tour. The Preakness Stakes will be moved 1 week later, starting in 2027, and will be run on a Sunday. Shohei Ohtani's got a homer for the Dodgers, but so does PCA for the Cubs. Northsiders up on LA 2-1 in the second.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, the American Farm Bureau Federation welcomed the release of Senate Farm Bill text and a scheduled markup by the Senate Ag Committee, calling it an important step towards advancing long-delayed legislation affecting agriculture. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall praised Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman for the legislation and expressed optimism lawmakers can build bipartisan support to move the bill through Congress. He also cited support for the administration for advancing the measure. Well, the USDA is moving forward with plans to reopen the Douglas, Arizona port of entry to livestock trade on August 24th in what Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins describes as one of the most rigorous livestock inspection systems ever implemented. Douglas was selected because Sonora has one of Mexico's strongest animal health systems and is considered to be low-risk state for New World screwworm. Any detection of NWS would immediately halt imports through the facility. Well, a new study found U.S. farmers spent $1.4 billion more on diesel fuel during the 2025-26 planting season than they did last season. Successful Farming reports the increase in diesel spending to plant corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, and rice was a 63% jump year over year. Farms.com says the average farmer paid roughly $1,500 more to refill a typical on-farm fuel tank compared to peak costs in 2025.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us. They'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading after Tuesday's blockbuster rally as investors weighed earnings from SpaceX and AMD while monitoring a potential reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Tech and healthcare are among the leading sectors while energy is lagging as oil prices are slipping. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks are mostly higher with Nvidia leading the charge. Its stock is up nearly 4% after Elon Musk said that a space exploration company would use only Nvidia chips going forward. SpaceX shares are sliding 10% as spending concerns mount, which is overshadowing its revenue beat. And Disney stock is up 3% after the entertainment giant reported third quarter earnings that beat expectations. Disney was helped during the quarter by its success of Toy Story 5 and foot traffic from its theme parks. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, Would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
A Frenchman had the last word on American charity, and it was over 100 years ago. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Americans are in their time of discontent, perhaps more so than at almost any other time in our history. Our young people have heard in classrooms too much of what's wrong with America. Many of the rest of us yearn to feel once again that old Yankee pride we once had, that belief in ourselves and in our nation. The other day I told you a story about a plane load of citizens who spontaneously came to the aid of a destitute father and his crippled son. It was a heartwarming story, but it really wasn't unusual. We're still a generous people, more so than most, and we put our money where our hearts tell us it should be. Every year, in spite of all the billions of dollars in taxes taken for welfare, federal aid to education, subsidies for the arts and cultural activities, we voluntarily contribute another $25 billion to do the same kind of good causes. There are some who would substitute government planning and government support for all this volunteer effort on our part. They lack confidence that we, the people, would care for the needy if government wasn't forcing us to do so. Well, some of us can still remember when foreign aid was voluntary. Sure, there was cooperation from government, but saving millions of Belgians from starvation after World War I was a volunteer citizens program. And so it was when Tokyo was devastated by an earthquake. We raised funds for starving Armenians, for victims of fire and flood and drought wherever they were in the world. And the image of America all over the world was of the great, generous, helpful neighbor. More than 100 years ago, a Frenchman named Alexis de Tocqueville came to America fascinated by our democracy and our success. He wrote a book about us. He said to his French friends, "You may not believe this, but in America, when someone sees a problem that needs solving, he doesn't call on government. He crosses the street and talks to a neighbor about it. And the first thing you know, a committee is formed, and before long, the problem is solved without any bureaucrats being involved or any new government program started." Unquote. Well, if we lose this particular facet of our American personality, and we can lose it if we continue to ask government for help on things we really do for ourselves, something precious will be lost. Let's not substitute for charity the coercion of taxation. The next time you hear that line about things being too complex for us to handle without government help, that only big government has the capacity to do the really big things, don't you believe it. Here in this country, we have more churches and libraries, support more symphony orchestras, more operas, and more nonprofit theaters with voluntary contributions than all the rest of the world put together. We have more doctors and hospitals in proportion to population than any other people, and one-third of all the young people in the world who are getting a college education are getting it in this country. For that matter, if we double our present troubles, we're still better off than people anywhere else in the world. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I'm breaking the show into three segments. We are going to start with Gaia Powell. She is the woman accused of election fraud that is going through the system right now. She was in court today. She is now up here in the studio. We will be discussing her case for the first half hour. Then at the top of the hour, we're going to have Councilman Chris Bausch on. There was a city council meeting last night in Paso Robles. Very, very interesting meeting. Arguments over where a bridge should go. A lot of misinformation and actually manipulation, and I believe greed. But we're going to go over that at the middle, at the top of the hour. Then the last half hour, I don't know how this is going right now, but there is a meeting ongoing now at the Board of Supervisors. It was a special meeting called to talk about Measure 8s. That's that sales tax proposal that was going to be a half-cent sales tax throughout the county. It'd bring a lot of the sales tax up to about 10%. It appears they made a motion to have it immediately pulled. We will discuss that at the last, at 1:30 to 2, we will be discussing that with attorney Chuck Bell, who is, I believe, as a political attorney, he's retired now, but he was one of the top or the top political attorney and government law attorney in the state of California. He's now retired, living in this area. He will be on to talk about what is going on. He is actually there. There were two meetings today to discuss it. Caltrans met this morning, and now the Board of Supervisors is meeting, and we'll tell you how that goes after with Chuck Bell when he comes in. And again, it's ongoing now. And Gaia Powell, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Karen. A lot's going on.
A lot is going on. Gaia Powell, for those that don't remember, she ran for mayor of Arroyo Grande, and then she was charged with election fraud, saying that she was, the argument, there's a number of things she was accused of, but primarily that she ran at what her primary residence was in the county, and when she ran for mayor, she is currently going through the court system. At the same time, she filed a number of lawsuits against other people that are witnesses in her case. But we're going to start today. So you were in court today.
I was in court today. That was about my writ of mandate. I had put in a public records request to the county. I was trying to get all correspondence between the DA's office and the county clerk's recorder's office. Any communications about myself, Hunter Breeze, and Michelle Morrow, and they refused to provide those records. They claimed that it wasn't in the public's best interest, and they didn't want to chill the public's participation in elections, etc., if they were to know what the investigation emails have to do with. So I went ahead and filed a lawsuit against them to try to get those records. Well, the judge ordered them to provide a privilege log, and because what I'm really asking for is that at least an in-camera, which would mean that let the judge decide, like hand over all those records to the judge and let the judge decide if the public should be able to see them. And so the judge required a privilege log, which means they had to just show a log of all the emails. And well, this blew my mind. I thought there was going to be like 15, maybe 20, 72 emails that they do not want the public to see. Why?
Well, I don't know if it's they don't want the public to see, but there would be, anytime you have a campaign, you're going to have a ton of emails going back and forth. So I think that, and you're asking for two candidates that are, I'm surprised he gave you on candidates that are not you.
Well, it was actually three candidates. It's, you know, Hunter, Morrow, and myself. But what they, any correspondence regarding the investigations, because, you know, on my stance is that the county clerk recorder has basically inserted herself in the investigation, which is against the law, and guiding them on, like, interpretation of law. That's not her role, but that's for the courts to decide. I'll argue with that in court. But to not be able to have those emails, to me, is outrageous. But at least let the court review it. Like, why wouldn't you want, if you were the DA and you were the county clerk recorder, why wouldn't you welcome the judge to take a look? Like, do you look and you decide?
I think sometimes when you have criminal cases and you have people that are reporting something they think is criminal, very often people don't want their names out there. I discovered the corruption of Adam Hill. Mm-hmm. And I had federal prosecutors have interviewed me, and also the bribery, alleged bribery scheme with John Belcher and Ryan Pettit. Ryan Pettit has already pleaded guilty. I have been asked probably 50 times by law enforcement, are you okay with us bringing out things that we got from you? Are you okay with your name being known? They're very sensitive about protecting it. And I see why. I have had threats. I was told that Ryan Pettit actually tried to hire a hitman to have me killed. I have had lawsuits with people involved in this. They can be very, very, very aggressive on people that are involved in bringing out criminal cases. And I've had both prosecutors and federal agents apologize to me that I might have to be involved in the court case.
No, and these records aren't like that. That's what, you know, they would like to make you believe that. But one thing that I have to my advantage is because I am in a criminal case that's completely separate. This is public records request, is that I have all the emails that they tried to withhold from the public. I have them in my discovery, and none of them are, you know, state secrets. What the reason they don't want these records out is because it shows that there's these really casual emails, and the main
emails, but you already have them, you're saying. Then why are you fighting for them?
I just got some of them, which is another mistake the DA office made. But anyway, let's not get off track. What I am trying to do is prove that the records that they have on Michelle Morrow and Hunter Breeze should be released to the judge so she can review them, because they aren't what you're thinking. They're not the whistleblower. Everybody knows who filed the complaints against all those people. A woman named Kates filed against Hunter Breeze. Elena Kano is the one that filed the complaint against Michelle Morrow. And then we know that Tom Foulkes is the one that filed the complaint against me. And even Dan Dow and Elena Kano have both put it out in a public statement just recently, and on the Pinder show a couple years ago, that all fraud cases go to the state first. And so this is where the huge, in my opinion, error protocol.
I don't, what you just said, I have not seen that personally. I don't think all fraud cases have to go to the state first. And in fact, I see very rarely, yeah, there's sometimes that they go through the FPPC first.
Those are different, because that is the state.
But there's a lot of times they don't. And there's times the FPPC says there's nothing wrong, mm-hmm. and then they file criminal charges. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the FPPC on Adam Hill came back. Adam Hill did nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong here. This wasn't a bribery case. The feds took it. They didn't say, well, the FPPC said nothing happened. But the FPPC found nothing wrong in Adam Hill working for a developer while voting on the man's cases. It had to go somewhere else. I have seen a lot of fraud cases with elections that do not go through the state first. I don't know who told you that that's the way it's supposed to go.
They said it on the radio. Both Dan Dow and Elena Kano claimed that there was a hotline on Elena Kano's website that goes directly to the state for any complaints, which was not true because there was no such hotline. But Elena didn't correct them. And then Elena doubled down and said any complaints they get first go to the state, and then they bounce back if it's appropriate. Now, in this case, there's so much conflict of interest and so much, local familiarity. It would just be common sense. Like if Tom Folks reached out to a woman that he endorsed and maybe financially supported in her campaign, wouldn't you say to him, you know what, Tom, it would be best if you filed this directly, and I would recommend you file it with the state. And then maybe he wouldn't have filed his complaint.
I'm going to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why.
That's okay.
As a reporter, generally when someone comes up with criminal things and they call me with something criminal, it's usually someone that they either were burned by this person, they don't know,
It should go to the sheriff if it's a crime. The prosecutors, the DAs
okay,
are the prosecutors.
Many of the things that I've written have ended up going to law enforcement, much more often the federal government, mm-hmm. several times local, but more often federal. But I'm telling you, other people are involved in these cases. It's not just me. There's other people that gave me evidence, and I some of them when I don't give out my sources' names, and when I was interviewed, I was asked, and I called a couple of the sources and said, they're asking me who you are. And I think almost every one of them wanted to talk to government. And there was two types. There were people tied to the fraud, and there were people that were working for government. And many of those government employees, their whole thing is, I've got a kid, I've got a wife, I've got a family. I can't lose my insurance. One person, their child had cancer, mm-hmm. and they said, I want to do what's right, but I can't lose my job over this.
I totally agree.
And so they're very, very careful because there's very often multiple people.
But a judge should be able
because
to judge it.
I'm not a source. The only reason I'm there even wanting to talk to me is I had the chain of custody. Mm-hmm. I had documents and I had interviews. I was a chain of custody. Why did you contact this person? Ms. Feely wrote this. Why did you do this? Where did this document come from? Karen Veely had it. You know what I mean? It was chain of custody. I wasn't involved in the fraud, but I do know they're very, very careful. This isn't different with you. They never want to give up witnesses to a case.
Right, but the emails the 72 emails are like 99%. It's Nicholas Coughlin talking to Elena Kano. And then there's people CC'd that are on Elena's staff. So it's not about keeping someone's identity safe. That can be redacted, and the judge can pull that email. 72 emails is a lot, and they don't want to have them out to the public, in my opinion, because it shows that due process wasn't followed and proper procedure wasn't followed.
But state law also says they don't have to give up evidence of their investigation until the case is over.
Right, the case is over with Michelle Morrow and Hunter Breeze. And
But again, I can see them saying that's not your business because it's not your case.
It's for the public, Karen.
This is about your case,
it.
Though. This
no,
is,
it's not.
This is your case. This isn't Morrow's case. This is your case.
No, this is a civil case against the county.
No, I mean the criminal case.
Yeah, the criminal case
is different. The criminal case trying to get documents regarding other people in a criminal case.
No, I wasn't doing it through that.
Okay.
It was a civil case. It's a civil case. It's in front of a judge... Coates. She's the one that's hearing it.
Do you think this is going to be, so you have the clerk of the, so what happened? So she ordered them to give them a list of the emails to her.
And there's 72.
And they gave that to the judge already?
No. They're fighting it. They do not want to give it to the judge, and that's what the public should be alarmed about.
Okay, what did the judge rule today? That they have to give it, or is she going to think about it?
She heard the arguments today, my arguments, and Ms. Dugan, hopefully I pronounced that correctly, Dugan's argument.
Ann Dugan.
And she is going to decide.
And Ann Dugan, for those that don't know, is the county council has a lot of attorneys, and they're very often assigned to do work with one or two offices. I think Ann Dugan, I know she used to do the sheriff. I don't know if she still does the sheriff's office, but she does do the clerk recorder's office.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And she's been there for years and years.
Yeah, she's been there for a while. She seems, she's a lovely lady. I mean, anytime I'm, battling, it's like if you were out in the tennis court, I'd be battling hard, but it's like, let's go have a beer afterward.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm not commenting on her. I'm just, I don't know how it's going to go because there's absolutely laws in the books about criminal investigations not giving up records.
I understand that, but a judge, all I've asked for is an in-camera review of the email so the judge can decide, should these be released to the public? And they don't want that, and that should tell you a lot. Why? a judge. Like, she wouldn't, she's not going to, you know, reveal anyone's identity.
It's a criminal case not involved with you.
No, no,
there are two criminal cases that have nothing to do with you.
Separate. This is civil. This is me requesting a public records request.
And I can't.
Just real quick so you don't get confused. The criminal case, my trial is set on August 31st. That's totally separate than this case.
And what I'm saying is I've tried to get criminal records on other cases with other people, mm-hmm. especially if they never went to charges. For example, city manager Ty Lewis turned in people in and wanted the police department to look into, he was a former chief of police, was asking them to look into people claiming they were harassing him. I asked for the documents on that and was told I could not have any of the, I couldn't even see the complaint because it was a case that hadn't gone anywhere, and I wasn't allowed to see it. And even if they have gone somewhere, they won't let me see some of
them. That's okay. A judge should be able to judge, not me. I'm not saying, hey, I want those records. I'm saying, please let the judge decide if these should be made available to the public. The emails that I got that were, they were trying to withhold, there is no smoking gun. It's just inappropriate, too much. It's very casual. It's not going through proper procedure, handing off all my records. It's just, I believe that they're just trying to hide the fact that they did not follow proper procedure and due process. I do not believe it's about hiding their investigative methodology or trying to protect anyone's identity. And I have the emails here, and you can judge for yourself. I'm happy to share them with anyone who would like to see. It's here's, for instance, like Terry O'Farrell sending an email to the DA staff, including Nicholas Coughlin, saying, hey, look, here's another, Elena's got a new one. So I'm the third one. So instead of our community getting together and going like, why are three people being investigated for the same thing? There must be some confusion. No, it's like, go attack those people instead of sending them to the state. Let's see if they really committed a crime. Let the Secretary of State decide because they are the election experts.
I saw Adam Hill get it with. I don't know if the best thing when you've got fraud during an election. In fact, the federal government told the DA's office anytime you get a complaint, immediately look at it. I think it's more important that they immediately look at every complaint rather than saying, "Well, we should let the state look at it." I have seen the FPPC take 3 years to look at a complaint. Literally 3 years. When
that's
you have
the FPPC, though, that's the state. The Secretary of State is different. The FPPC is mainly focusing on, as you know, contribution.
The feds told the locals to get on this immediately. And I think that I don't believe that that's the problem. And I don't believe talking casually. You're talking about protocol.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
That's what you're in trouble for, is not doing the right protocol when you ran for office.
I actually did do the right protocol. And also, just to clarify for your audience, I have never been charged with a residency crime. These are the charges. I intentionally registered to vote illegally, and that is absolutely not true. When I registered to vote, it was 2022, and I was registering to vote to run for office. I had gotten a residency inside of the city limits so I could do just that. And that ended up being a long-term rent.
And again, that's what you're saying.
It's not about residency.
It's about election fraud. It's about election fraud. It's not about residency fraud. It's about election fraud. You can't run for office in an area you're not living. You can't rent.
Actually,
a home.
When you register to vote in California, it says you have to be a resident of California. Period. It doesn't say anything else.
Okay, I'm sorry. They do ask you where you live.
Yeah, they say put your home address.
And you have to.
And it can be literally, it says it on the form. It can be a cross street. It can be, you know, if you don't have an actual home.
There's a lot of rules here, but it's not ridiculous.
But what's ridiculous is that they have not proven that you have to prove intent with fraud. You have to prove intent that I committed a crime. On purpose.
Well, that's why you're going to go to court. That's when you're going to go to court.
Exactly.
And they also have spending money, you know, buying.
This is probably costing millions of dollars. And what they didn't realize what was going to happen is I was going to defend myself and get all the discovery and call them out. They thought they were going to easily railroad me and bully me into compliance, just like they did with poor Michelle Morrow, who also did not commit a crime.
Well, I'm kind of, I want people to live where they're, I don't want people to.
She would also not
I do not believe you should rent a house and say you live there and run for office in a city you do not live.
Yeah,
I have a very...
I did live...
Okay, well, let's come back and we'll talk about that after we have a break, a word from our sponsors.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations on El Camino Real, Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlowCountyHearingAids.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm here with Gaya Powell. She is running for office. We have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, I have a quick question that I'm trying to understand, and I know that I guess neither one of you or nor myself is a election expert, but we're allowing and we're giving homeless people that have no addresses the right to run for office and vote with living in the river or on some corner. So if they can do that and not prove that they have a residence, what are we doing here?
And I do agree the homeless rule here in California does cause an absolute mess. When you own a residence, you're supposed to be voting at the residence you primarily stay at. And I have seen charges, I've seen convictions over and over again where people wanted, you know, for example, the biggest problem I have seen is where someone is actually, they're a city council member somewhere and they buy a house and move somewhere else, but they want to stay on that city council. So they rent the property out, but continue to use it as an address. I've seen that, and they have, like, they say, well, there's a room in the bottom, I could stay there if I wanted. All in all, I've seen, in most of those cases, I have seen them get convicted. They do need to clean up our voting, and they do need to clean up this. There's been a big push to make sure that homeless and people without IDs are not disfranchised. Meanwhile, well, you have thousands.
I'm just talking about a legitimate address where you're claiming is your, the river is not an address.
Exactly. I had a residence. I rented a room inside the city limits so I could run for office, and I was told that was okay by the city clerk. So
yeah, I'm just trying to compare the different things.
Yeah, that is crazy. It's insane.
Why three Republican candidates were targeted,
exactly,
and other candidates are not targeted, and why you can find 322 ballots after you stop counting when a candidate gets within a certain distance of Bruce Gibson, but nobody investigates that.
Exactly. And then if we could just get rid of mail-in ballots, all of this BS would be out the window, because everyone would have to show up at the goddamn poll in the community that they should be voting.
Watch the language. The thing is, your charges are not about that.
And by the way, Lynn Compton told me herself that for years she had lived in Colorado and voted in San Luis Obispo because she owns a home and she gets to choose. And I agree with her because that's the law. If you don't like the law, change the law. I was told if it didn't matter how much time I spent at the rental inside the city or outside, or my rental outside of the city. And here I am because Dan Dow has an inappropriate relationship with Elena Kano.
Lynn Compton told me she didn't tell you that. She did not vote. What Lynn did is she had a job, and you can vote when you're working out of area. She said she stopped voting because she was living primarily in Colorado while she worked. Right now, her primary residence is in San Luis Obispo. But she did not vote for two or three years,
she
said. Lynn, everybody has held...
I investigated.
Okay, Lynn told me that what you're saying is not true.
Okay, you can just get her voting record.
Okay.
I'll ask one last question, and then you guys can argue about it. we have kids that come to college at Cal Poly.
Yep.
They're driving around in vehicles that are licensed in different states. They get to vote here claiming this is their residence when they don't have a California driver's license. Their vehicle is not registered here. Why doesn't any of that have to be changed if you want to be a resident here? And this is just another deal. The 5th District goes down into South County, which is unacceptable because South County is not North County. And they have no connection to what goes on in North County, yet they're voting on what's going on. And every one of our supervisors gets to vote on everything that goes on in the whole county, yet I have a representative right now that's dictating what goes on up here in North County that doesn't live here. But I didn't get to vote for him to tell me what to do. So I want that explained. What is the purpose of having districts if another group of supervisors or city officials can knock that person out of the representation that voted for them?
Well, I think that, obviously this is a much larger conversation with how illegitimate our elections are in the first place. I mean, that's why I ran for county clerk recorder, because I believe that these type of things should be settled in the court. When the state of California is dictating unconstitutional laws about elections, that's when we need to sue them in federal court to protect our rights and our sovereignty from the state dictates and the tyranny.
I just want the government integrity to also be against the government officials that are breaking the law, not the citizens who are paying the taxes, who didn't get sued with tax dollars against themselves and have to use their own money to represent themselves. And Karen knows who I am, and I've been in a court battle for 13 years, and we're finally ending it. And these guys, law firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, needs to end.
Yeah, I feel your pain. It's no fun to be caught in our legal system.
And I agree with you completely on there's a lot of issues with public officials and using the court. There's a lot of issues right now with public officials not doing what's best for the community.
Exactly. That's why we need to be able to have transparency and truth and people that welcome anyone to come in and audit or to challenge in their, to be scrutinized. I mean, for instance, with these 72 emails that they're trying to withhold from the public, why? I mean, why are they trying to withhold it from a judge? Like, what are you hiding? It's ridiculous.
There's a thing, and I may not pronounce it right. It's called LeMay. And what that is what the court looks at before a court trial to decide what is admissible and what is not admissible. And there's no reason that shouldn't be done.
And they have, that's why in this case, criminal cases, they don't leave those out. She's trying to get hold of it civilly. You can't get the criminal, there are laws about criminal investigations being private during the investigation. When do you go to court the end of this month. You go to court on the 30th?
I'll be in court to do different motions and getting prepared.
Your trial's at the end of the month?
Yes, the 31st.
And then we will know fairly soon after that how the judge rules.
Correct. Hopefully the truth will come out.
And thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll be back with Chris Bausch.
KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.